We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
1 Samuel chapter 27, and David said in his heart, now I want you to look at that. That's what I really want to preach on. He had a conversation with his heart. I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him, with Achish, the son of Maoch, king of Gat. And David dwelt with Achish at Gat, and he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Abaddon, the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the Carmonite, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. And David said unto Kish, if I have now found grace in thy eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there, for why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Kish gave them Ziklag that day, wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was 4 years and 4 months, or 16 months. And David and his men went up and invaded the Gershonites and the Gezerites and the Amalek, for those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even into the land of Egypt. And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. And Achish said, whither have you made a road today? And David said, against the south of Judah, and against the south of the Jebusites, and against the south of the Canaanites. And David said, neither man nor woman alive, to bring tidings to Gat, saying, lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the country of the Philistines. And Achish believed David, saying, he has made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. Therefore he shall be my servant forever. Now I want to preach this morning with the help of the Lord concerning really that first statement that was made there in the first verse of chapter 27. And if I would use a text here this morning, my text would simply be, when smart people make foolish decisions. When smart people make foolish decisions. Now, I want you, if you can here this morning, just place yourself in David's sandals just for a moment here. Now, I want you to see here, David was told from the time that he was a teenager that he was going to be the next king of Israel. And also Samuel, the old man of God, had came and anointed him for that office. And also, the next thing that you know, you're in the royal palace. David was playing and singing for the king. And then, like whirlwind of activities began to happen one after another, you find your life in a place where that you have gained national prominence. You all know the story. David killed Goliath with one single stone from his slingshot. And then David was promoted in the army, and he was made the captain over 1,000 men. And then David married the king's daughter and was best friends with the king's son. And so it seemed that every event in David's life was bringing him closer and closer when he would step up and claim the throne of the land as his own, or the land of Israel. And then things began to happen. See all of those positive things there that was in David's life up to that point. And then things began to change. Cracks began to appear in the perfectly constructed life that he had enjoyed so much. And so first thing that happened was that David fell out of favor with the king, and the king even tried to kill him. And then your relationship with your wife came to an end. Listen, all that, you can no longer fellowship with Jonathan, your best friend. David was demoted and he lost his position in the army. And the next thing that he knew was that he was a fugitive, running for his life from the insane king Saul, who was determined to take his life. And so yet even as David ran from the enemy, David continued to carry himself very well. He spared the king's life even when he had the opportunity to kill him. It was presented to him. He could have killed him very easily, but he showed compassion when dealing with others and that would have destroyed him. And so we see also here he continues to seek God's direction for his life, believing that someday God's promises for his life would come true, would be fulfilled. And here it comes. And then one day, something changes. You awake as usual. David did. Somehow the world is different today. For the first time, it looks like God may have forgotten all about you. And that's how David is feeling here in this 27th chapter of 1 Samuel. He's feeling that he'd been on the run, running as a fugitive for his life, and he's thinking, maybe God has just forgotten all about me. And so he also says, it looks like my enemies are going to prevail and destroy me. David became discouraged. He became disillusioned. He became defeated and trapped in the pit of his hopelessness. And so David, in that state of despair, David made a foolish decision. Now that's what I want to talk about this morning, when smart people make foolish decisions. And right here, feeling all of this despair, God has forsaken me, I'm a fugitive, I'm out here on the run, running for my life, and one day the enemy's going to catch me, and he's going to defeat me. And so when he was in that state, he made that foolish statement that altered the course of his life. And so it brought him troubles that he could have never imagined. And so here we see that he was broken spiritually. Now here it is in a nutshell. In the life of David up to this point, David was on a fast track, going up to the kingdom, and now he's a fugitive on the run. One moment in his life as a teenager, he was on the fast track to become the king of Israel. And now all of a sudden, he's a fugitive on the run. How things have happened. And so David, here he was hunted. He was hounded. He was defeated. He was discouraged. He was depressed. And while he's in that condition, he makes a foolish decision that will produce some very serious consequences in his life. And I want to say to every one of us here this morning, you have the freedom to make any kind of decisions that you want to make, but I want you to be aware that there are some serious consequences sometimes that comes along with those decisions that you make. And so he made this foolish decision, and David decided to give up on God's plan for his life. Oh, over the years, how many people have I seen that sit here just like you're sitting? I thought they were faithful, and I thought they were committed to the Lord, and then something happened, and they decided that they was going to give up on God's plan for the life. And so he says here, he must have forgotten about me. He's going to give up on following God's will for his life. He chose to walk away from God and to live life of carnality and to live life of compromise. He made that tragic decision, and David paid a high price when he made that decision. Now you listen to me. Today I want to preach just for a moment. When smart people make foolish decisions, I'd like to take David's life right here and point out where we go wrong in the decisions that we make in life. What we can expect when we make those decisions. And not only that, but how that we can pick up the pieces and move on with God. There may be somebody right here this morning that you have made wrong decisions, and your life is shattered, and your life is in pieces. But I'm glad to tell you this morning that you can pick up those pieces, and God can put your life back together again, and you can move on with the Lord. And so, the first thing I want you to see here is in verse 1, the reason for David's decision. David trusted the wrong confidant. Now, David is pictured having a conversation with himself. Now, I don't know whether any of y'all do that or not, but I'm sure you do. Yeah. David was having a conversation here with himself. Instead of turning to God in prayer that he had so often done, the Bible says right here, David turned to himself for counsel. And so the advice that he received from himself is anything but wise. Look here, when David communed here with his heart, he immediately forgot about all the great promises which the Lord had made to him. God had promised David that he would be the next king. Yes. Abigail, his wife, had promised David he would be the next king. Jonathan, the son of the king, had promised David that he would be the next king. And Saul himself had even promised David that he would be the next king. But yet all of these great promises are forgotten when David began to listen to his own heart. David even thinks that he knows what will happen out there in the future. And so he says, they're going to catch me. They're going to defeat me. They're going to destroy me. And so he should have known that God is a sovereign God. And that simply means that God has everything in control and God can do what he wants to do. God can change situations and make things different here this morning. And so he forgot that he was a sovereign God who's in control of things past, present, and future. God's in control of everything. And so here, because David listened to his heart, he chose to abandon the path of God that God had placed him on years before. Just a little talk with his heart. And so after he had that little talk with his heart, he said, I'm just going to abandon this path that God has for my life. I don't think it's best anymore. So he decided that he would be better off fleeing to a land of the Philistines, where that he thought he would be safe from King Saul. Imagine here, the future king of Israel running to the arch enemy of God, to beg for help. Boy, that's sad, isn't it?
Yes.
The king, that kind of trouble, David's heart got him into. His heart. His own heart got him in that trouble.
Right.
When he had that communication with his heart. Because of trusting your own heart, and when we consult our heart, we will get in touch. What do you get in touch with when you consult your own heart? Don't get in touch with God.
Right.
You get in touch with the human nature.
Come on, clear.
That's what you get in touch with.
Yeah.
You get in touch with that human nature. Yeah. And we all know about the human nature. The Bible said that the human nature is full of evil. And all of those kind of things. And also, the Bible tells us, he that trusteth in his own heart, Proverbs 28:26, he that trusts in his own heart is a fool.
That's right.
But who walketh wisely, he shall be delivered.
Yeah.
And so here, our old human nature is fallen. And it always looks at the things from the earthly standpoint.
Yes.
And so when people say, well, I feel it in my heart. Have you heard people say that? You may have even said it myself. Well, they are usually headed for trouble.
Right.
If you ever hear anybody say, well, I'm going to do this because I feel it in my heart. I want to say you can probably just watch out and pay attention, because they're headed for trouble.
Yes.
When they have that attitude and they're doing that. This is why the Bible cautions us against trusting the heart.
Right.
He says it's evil. And so when you talk to yourself, be sure to talk to yourself about the things of God. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things at God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:8 said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And so here this morning, and I want to say, when someone says, just listen to what your heart is telling you, they've given you advice that can lead to spiritual wreck and ruin if you're foolish enough to follow it.
That's right.
Has anybody ever told you when you're trying to make a decision, just listen to your heart. Just let your heart tell you what to do. Boy, that's foolish.
That's right.
Foolish advice.
Yes.
You see, your head will be saying things like this. Maybe somebody's sitting here this morning and your heart is saying something like this. This church is dead. These people don't like me.
That's right.
God is being unfair to me. I'd be better off if I just stayed at home. Or I'd be better off if I went somewhere else to church. And here's the one, I guess most of you say, hey, that preacher's mean. The devil says that.
Right.
Oh, mean spirit about him. You're really missing out. There's nothing wrong with having a little fun and living it up every once in a while. God doesn't care about me.
Come on.
That's what your heart tells you.
Yeah.
If he did, these things would not be happening to me. Just once won't hurt anything. Just a little won't matter. That's the kind of things that your heart tells you. That's the sign when you listen to your heart, that's the things that the heart is saying to you. And so here, I want you to see, many of you know just exactly what I'm talking about this morning. And because it may be happening to you, and it may already happen to you, but your heart will trick you. Your heart will deceive you. Your heart will lie to you. And lead you down the wrong path of life. And if you'll listen to your heart, you'll find yourself where David found himself. Out of God's will. Out of God's place for his life. And out of God's fellowship. What a sad shame. Just because he sat down one day and he reasoned with his heart. He had counsel with his heart. And his heart says, God don't care about you anymore. God's forsaken you. The enemy's going to capture you. The enemy's going to defeat you. You're not going to rise to the King of Israel. And so if you listen to your heart, you'll find yourself living a life of spiritual compromise, and you'll find yourself a backslider on the outs with God. And so David made wrong decisions because he listened to his heart, and his heart led him astray. Listen, went and assembled himself and sided and partnered with the very enemies of his own country. And he went and joined up with them to fight against his own people. And so the next thing I want you to see down in verse 2, the results of David's decision. Because of this foolish decision, David made everyone whose life had touched that of David was affected by his decision. In other words, all of his 600 men and their families, their wives and their children, everyone around David was brought down by the decision of this one man. And so all of those people that were brought into a place of compromise and temptation because one man, David, listened to his own heart, instead of listening to the Lord. Oh, how often we see that today. People, rather than listening to the Lord and praying and seeking advice and wisdom from the Lord, they listen to their own heart and they make decisions that brings harm and hurt not only upon themselves, but upon so many people. Romans 14:7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. That's just basically saying this right here. It's saying that everything we do in our lives, it touches those around us. You don't do anything in your life that does not touch those people that are around you. When a husband or a wife step out of God's will, it'll affect their marriage.
Yes.
Did you know that? When one or the other steps out of the will of God, it's going to affect their marriage.
Yes.
When one or both parents refuse to live by God's standards, it has an impact on their children.
Yes.
People at school and people at work and people at church are touched by the way we live our lives. And so we never know who's watching us. We never know who might be hindered when we give up and give in to the advice of our heart and walk away from God. Just remember that there's a price to pay for touching others in a negative manner.
Come on.
And I'm afraid that sometimes we touch others in a negative manner. And so let's see here. Let's see some of these positive scenarios here. I want you to look down in verse 5. Not only did David's decision affect the people around him, but the way that David lived his life was altered. In other words, his decision to walk away from the Lord changed him completely. In other words, look at some of the things that the Bible reveals about this tragic time in David's life. Verse 4, David lived with a sense of false security. He thought he's safe. Saul won't come up here and get me. He was living with a false security. Verse 5, David sought help and ran with the wrong crowd. He literally lined himself up with the enemy. And then look in verse 8, David did things there that he never would have done before. He murdered, he lied, and he submitted himself to the enemy of God. The whole fabric of David's life was altered by the decision he made. David stayed there for 16 months, verse 7. I'm sure he was longer than he intended to be. And also worthy to know here that there was no Psalms. If you studied the Word of God, there was no Psalms that were attributed to David during this period of time in his life. It seems that the sweet singer of Israel had lost his voice during this time that he was out of the will of God, that he'd walked away from the path of God. And when a believer makes a fatal decision to walk away from the Lord and from the place of blessings, their life will be affected in a negative way. If you choose today that you're going to walk away from the Lord and walk away from His will for your life and what the Lord wants you to do and walk away from the blessings of God, I want you to know that, and you can mark it down, that this old country preacher told you that it will affect your life in a negative way.
Yes.
It will affect your life in a negative way, as it did David. And so here, look here, the one who walks away will find that soon some things that they find themselves maybe doing some things that they never would have done before. They find themselves running with a crowd that they would have never have run with before. They'll find their entire lifestyle has been changed. And they'll look around and they'll find that months and even years have passed while they languished in the far country. They'll find that their songs have departed and their joy has dried up. I hope that's not the case with anybody here this morning. I hope you still have your song of victory in your heart. I hope that your joy is still bubbling up and running over, that your joy is not dried up. But here, that's what happens when you choose to walk away from the Lord. And then I want to show you something else here. I want you to see the peace of David's life was affected. Someone says, sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll cost you more than you want to pay.
Right.
And so, you're seeing the truth of that fleshed out here in David's life. David had fallen about as far as a man could have fallen. He's out of the will of God. He's off of God's path. He's actively working with the enemy against the people of God. But thankfully, David was not having a good time. He lost his peace. He wasn't having a good time. He was doing these things, but he was miserable while he was doing these things. And so you can see right here, you can see how that his sin affected the people of his life, how it affected the pattern of his life, and how it affected the peace of his life. David has lost his identity. He unites himself with the Philistines, the enemies of God, the enemies of the people of Israel. And he goes to do battle with his own people, Israel. But here is the thing. Even there in chapter 29, verse 1 through 5, you want to read it when you get home. In this day here, even the Philistines, they didn't want anything to do with him. He had become an offense to them. He's literally now a man without a country. And that's the way even the world, when you backslide on God and you get out of the will of God and you're a backslider and you get out here and you try to fellowship with the world and run with the world, they don't even want you.
That's right. Come on.
They don't even want you.
That's right.
They don't have no confidence in you. And so David finally begins to reap the harvest of his wickedness that he's sown. He loses far more than he could ever imagine. The Amalekites retaliated against David and his men for their earlier actions. Look in verse 27, verse 8. Their families were taken captive and their city was burned to the ground. And so David finally reaches the bottom. His men turns on him and threatens to kill him. They rightly realize that all of these tragedies is a result of David's foolish decision. His sin has taken everything away from him. You say, oh, preacher, one little decision I make is not going to affect me like that. How do you know? How do you know that when you listen to your heart one time, without praying about it, without seeking the counsel of God, without seeking the wisdom of God, without seeking the leadership of God, and listen and listen and go in the way that God would lead you, but you choose to go and listen to your heart. Oh, how many times have I said and counseled with people that would tell me, oh, I just feel that those people don't this and that and the church and this and that and all the negative stuff about the church that their heart has told them. Listen, the devil is an enemy. And so he's very deceptive. And I want you to see something right here. What a frightening picture here of the power and the potential of sin on our lives. You may walk away from the Lord and go on out and go your own way, but you will not go out without paying a terribly high price. What will it cost you? What will it cost you? Is the sin that you're about to walk away from the Lord and walk away from God to commit, is it worth the price that you're going to have to pay? Is it worth your spouse? You may lose your spouse over it. Is it worth your children? Is it worth your ministry? Is it worth your good name? Is it worth your power with God? Is it worth your health? Is it worth your life?
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at uniontemplefwb.org.